And the question for today, this one, the first one is, are there angels that interact with us today? How many say yes? We'll take a vote on it and find out. But we have to understand who angels are, what do they do, and why are they created. But we know that angels are messengers. So just the idea of an angel is really nothing more than a messenger that is working for God. So an angel is one that works for God and acts as a messenger. That's in its most simplest idea. We see that angels were instrumental in giving out the law. Acts 7:38 talks about that as mediators of the law. And just go there real quickly. It says, this is the one who was in congregation in the wilderness together with the angel who was speaking to him on Mount Sinai, who was with our fathers. He received the living oracles to pass on to you. There are other verses that talk about that the role of angels in the giving of the law to Israel. We see that angels, Galatians 3, I think, continues on with that thought. Galatians 3, verse 19, says that why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. So angels, again, are God's messengers, and in this case, were instrumental in giving the law to Israel. They're also act as warriors. If we take a look at Psalm 68, verse 17, the chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them as at Sinai in holiness. Now that refers to the angels, that God's chariots, God's angels are ones that actually in this case protected Israel. We see that there's actually a lot of verses that talk about those angels working for Israel as warriors. Psalm 91:11 also talks about the role of angels. This is a verse that very often is picked out by people who want angels to be watching over them. For he gives his angels charge concerning you to guard in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. Now that verse might sound familiar to you. What's that?
Somewhere.
It goes back to Satan tempting Jesus in the wilderness and telling him to throw yourself off the mountain, the angels will come and lift you up, because there's a verse that talks about angels that will protect those in Israel, and that protection here specifically in Israel. Go to just over to Psalm 104. Verse 4, it says, he makes the winds his messengers, flaming fire his ministers. If you understand that, that is talking again about the role of angels that God uses, his ministers, the ministering angels, that these angels that God uses for his purpose. It's interesting, too, that let's go to Hebrews 13. Another verse that often is quoted concerning today, this church, the body of Christ, says, don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Can you think of a time when angels were being entertained without them knowing it? Going back to Abraham, we had the three men that showed up. One was Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus was the second person of the Trinity in a pre-incarnate appearance. And then two others who were angels. And they didn't understand who these people were. They thought they were just God had sent them. But they were actually... And we saw the two men showing up in Sodom and Gomorrah as warnings, so that they were definitely... angels of God that were sent to God to minister, to warn, in this case, of what was going to happen. this Hebrews 13:2, people think that they perhaps, you know, it tells you to be hospitable to strangers because you may have entertained angels unawares, that you may have talked. And so people take this as something that is possible today. They are ministering spirits to Israel, as Hebrews 1:14 talks about. It says 13, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool? And then it says that they are all ministering spirits, ones that work for God. They're not ones who will be raised up and put on a throne. They are sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. And again, Hebrews is pointed at Israel, so everything we've read about these pertain to specifically Israel. We hear teaching that they observe us, that they're watching. Now, but let's take a look at Zechariah 1:9 first. And again, this is written to the nation of Israel. And it says that, I saw at night, and behold, a man was riding on a red horse. He was standing among the myrtle trees, which were in the ravine, with red sorrel and white horses behind him. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? And the angel who was speaking with me said, I will show you what these things are. You'll notice, and the reason I pick this out is that the angel is teaching them. And it's the teaching that God is sending a messenger so that this angel then can talk to somebody and fill them in on what they need to know. And so it's the angel that knows what's going on. However, if you look at Ephesians 3:10, we'll get an idea of what the church, the body of Christ, is our position. It says, so that the manifold witness wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So, to whom, and I probably should back up a little bit, to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which has for ages been hidden in God, who created us all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church. That's us. The manifold wisdom of God, talking about the mystery, and to the authorities in the heavenly places. Who are these authorities? These are the spiritual realm that are watching us, trying to understand what God is doing. In other words, they are learning from us, we're not learning from them, right? So it's reversed from Israel. Israel would depend on angels. Sometimes that angel was the second person of the Trinity. But they would learn from the angels, and there's no case where the angels are learning from them. However, when we preach the mystery, what's happening? Angels are listening and watching and observing.
No one else does.
Better them than nobody, I guess. Thank you, Mary. Where was I? And so we are actually ones who are talking to angels, or that they're listening to us and observing us. 1 Corinthians 4:9. For I think God has exalted us apostles, last of all, as men condemned to death, because we have been a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. In other words, that goes along with their watching. Paul was seen as a spectacle, not only to people that he was ministering to, but also to those angels, the spiritual realm, who were watching him and seeing what he was doing. Go over to 11:10, 1 Corinthians 11. And this is an interesting one that has been debated a lot. It says, therefore, women ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. What does that mean? And where is your symbol of authority, women? on your head. It must be your brain, right? But the reason this verse is here is because angels are observing and seeing a hierarchy here, how God has created things. The women ought to have a symbol of authority on her head. It says because of the angels. It's, in other words, they are observing and watching, and it's done for their benefit. That they can see, you know, when the Bible talks about women should submit and men should love their wife, that's what they're, it's part of what they're watching and observing and trying to understand. It's done with the angels in mind, because they are watching. That verse gives a clue that they are, again, watching us. We also see angels going back into the kingdom plan and others. We see Genesis 28:12. He says he had a dream. Behold, a ladder was sent to the earth with the top reaching the heaven. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. This is a dream that God gave to Jacob, and it's a dream of God again contacting Jacob with his angels, that they're part of this, giving him the information he needed. It's not, don't have time to really go into all the details about that, but it's again how God contacted the human race before the church, the body of Christ, and he uses angels in order to contact them. John 1:51, and I'm sorry if I'm, I always feel like I have to go kind of quickly, and there's a lot of material that are behind these questions. John 1:51. So hopefully he doesn't feel too disjointed. And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And so again, the angels are instrumental here in dealing with Israel in what they would understand, in their understanding of how angels interact with them. Isaiah 9:7. And it says that there will be no end to the increase of his government of peace on the throne of David over his kingdom to establish it. And what did I have there? So this is talking about the kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness. And then on forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Who is the Lord of hosts? The hosts of heaven are the angelic realm, and they're the ones that are going to be instituting this kingdom. When we get into just a little further down here and what I have to say, in fact, let's go to chapter 37, I'm sorry, Isaiah 37:32. We see out of Jerusalem will go forth a remnant, and out of the Mount of Zion, survivors, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Again, a hint that this Lord of hosts, the Lord of the realm that is part of his, these angelic realm, will perform this action. Revelation 7:1, hang with me for a little bit here. And I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. Now here we get some specifics about how God is going to use the angelic realm as he takes over the kingdom, holding back the four winds of the earth so that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or any tree. Now you recall, and as we go through Revelation, the angels are the ones who are bringing the vials, dumping the as God's messengers coming in on the earth, the trumpets, all these judgments that are going to go on the earth. And when you read through Revelation, these judgments are brought in with the angelic hosts. And so that's their function. Again, the church, the body of Christ, isn't any part of this. So far, the church, the body of Christ, is only in a teaching role to the angelic host. But we're not going to be directly involved with the angels like Israel was. So we are above the angels, Colossians 2:10. Which says that in Him you've been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority. He is our head, we're the body, and it's that function that we've been raised up to a certain position. Ephesians 3:9 also speaks of that. Which says, and to bring light, which is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the elders and authorities in the heavenly places. And so we read that before, but that is the whole idea that we are above the angels. We're not taking commands from the angels as Israel did. Now, it's interesting that many people think that angels visit us today. Many people think we have a guardian angel that watches over us. There's no indication that that's the case. And they get to that point by some of the verses we just picked out here that relate specifically to Israel. And so the angels that come to Israel, they're the ones that are learning from the angels. However, as I showed, that we are the ones who are teaching the angels. We have a special position in the church, the body of Christ. We don't have, there's no indication that we have guardian angels that are watching over us. There's no indication that we have angels that come to us and tell us information. And those angels, if they come, would be of the fallen variety. Many people will think that they're talking to God when who are they talking to? They're talking to Satan. And it's Satan that reveals himself. And people are very often fooled by anything that's supernatural, which Paul never indicates that we are going to have any supernatural events surrounding us, including the visitation by angels. Did you have...
Colossians talks about that, about people who claim that angels have came. Says they did not see those things, and by doing that, they're denying the head, which is Jesus Christ.
Yeah, perfect verse for that. You both want to talk?
Well, I'm going to say the same thing. Yeah. Can I bring up a story? Because you can't believe how perfect timing
this is. In fact, I always told her, don't bring this up. I made a promise, don't bring this up. It runs in the family.
Can't help it. You're
I really want to bring this up because it's very important to me because he has a twin brother and it's not a twin.
Yeah.
Truly, and we had a reunion at our house, and so I talk to her, and I don't know what to say to her because this is what she believes. As we all have guardian angels. When you're pregnant, you have a guardian angel right beside you that follows you every step of the way. If you go off and get addicted to drugs, to alcohol, that means you've left the angel. These are people that go to Matt Hammond's living in the church. But most importantly, I want to know what to say to her because this is helping me. But she, her mother passed away recently, and the nurse in the assisted living place where she was in hospice came into her and said, do you have a radio on or TV? And she said, no, this is right before she passed away. No, those are the angels. They're all in my room. They're all talking to me. They're ready to take me up to heaven. And Julie tells everybody this, and she truly believes it. What do I say back to her?
Well, it's hard to come against someone like that because sometimes it's experience over scripture that I've had the experience, and so they'll take and grab a hold of an experience which you cannot trust.
And
no matter.
Wasn't in that room, but she says the nurse.
Yeah. But the problem is, again, going back, this is what I experienced, and that supersedes everything. We can be fooled very easily.
Can I say something?
Oh, please.
Senior plus. I have told you this before.
I'm pretty dense.
Christ, we deal directly with the Son of God. He is our connection. We are the angels are for just Israel. But we are in a special place. We are in a unique environment. And Jesus Christ himself is our go-between and who he deals with and who shows up for us, i.e. the rapture. He's not sending an angel for us. He's coming himself. And I'm just yay. Yeah, well, because they want to believe it.
Well, first of all, we know that Satan comes disguising himself as an angel of light. Now, how many people have been fooled by this angel of light? An angel of light would appear what? As someone from God, right? Completely righteous. Paul warns us of these angels of light.
Is this to say that godly angels don't get this, but demonic angels do neither?
Well, I'm not so sure about that either.
That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah. It depends, and I think God has held back His, first of all, the angels from interacting with us directly, and also the demons. If you look at in Jesus' time, wasn't there a lot of demonic activity? Well, why don't we have that today? I think God has held it back, and He's put a lot of them in chains. And so they are not they're not active, it seems, today. We certainly have Satan's influence in our lives, don't we? Paul warns us about the fiery darts of Satan. It's a spiritual battle. It's not; they're not going to physically manifest themselves, but it's on the spiritual realm that we experience these demons that are working to pull us away from God.
Okay, so are people not in the body of Christ visited by demonic angels?
No, I don't think so.
Can you prove that from Scripture?
I can't. Can you prove that they would be?
Well, you talk about all these demonic influences.
Yeah, on a spiritual level.
On a spiritual level, so
we can't see into the spiritual realm. We're blocked from seeing that spiritual realm. All I know is that, number one, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. We're warned about that. Number two, let me give you one more verse, Galatians 1:8, and then we'll have more discussion, I'm sure. Galatians 1:8, Paul warns us about talking to angels. He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we preached, that he is to be accursed. And he says it again. So in other words, don't pay any attention to anything that comes to you and tells you something different. So where do we get our information? We get it from Scripture. If somebody comes to you and tells you anything different, we're to ignore it. So people will take what they think is an angel and listen to it. That's contrary to Scripture. We're told not to listen to any angel. We're told to go back to Scripture.
But doesn't that say then that angels are present, they just aren't allowed to talk to them?
It's very possible, but it's, again, it's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. Israel had physical manifestations of angels. They had physical visitors of angels.
And demons,
because the demonic side of things were very active, especially in Jesus' time. We see that demonic influence everywhere. People were physically affected by demons. But now it's in the physical, and Paul warns us in Ephesians 6, it's in the spiritual realm that we have to be careful. It's not in the physical realm. In other words, did Satan come and visit you, or did a demon come and visit you, or did an angel come and visit you? No. Some people have good imaginations, maybe, but or take circumstances to say that it's God. I think the problem is touched by an angel. People get that idea that they get their theology from TV. And so that is where people understand the angel concept a lot of times. It's not biblical. Biblically, we in the body of Christ are teaching angels. They're watching us. They're observing us. Number two, we are also, Satan will present himself as an angel of light, not manifest himself physically, but spiritually. Number three, we're never to listen to anything that claims to be an angel. And anything claiming to be an angel would actually be an angel of light, which would be actually an angel of dark, if an angel did show up and tell you something. So there's no room that I see in Scripture in this age to have a visitation by an angel.
And can I say, people that are in the hospital, as one who manufactures and makes medication for people, mind altering. That's where it works the most, you guys, because it's in your mind. And if they could take away the pain and get you to think, so we cannot forget that. She was under the influence, being drugged up. She believes in that angels are there. Angels are there.
I saw that with my dad, who was in the hospital under pain medication, and he was seeing things that obviously were not there, and he was describing it perfectly. Yeah, they would swear up and down they experienced it.
I used to do LSD, kids mind altering.
Yeah.
And I saw things. Woo! Telling you. So I stay away from all medication.
Dave?
You say, when you talk about angels watching us, are they watching just believers, or are they watching all people?
Oh, I bet they're just observing the human race, but specifically Paul talks about in terms of the program of grace that they're observing.
They're watching the whole world, they're not learning very good things.
No, they're not learning. They have to be discerning, right? Mary?
I know that you brought up one verse in Colossians, and then there's another one about the worshiping of angels.
Yeah.
Warning. Paul's always warning against the stuff that I fell for so often, but he warns about it in doctrine. In Colossians 2:18, he says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward and a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen." Talking about blah, blah, blah. So we talked about that before. And talking about angels now also reminds me of preachers, a teaching out there that's going around that right now, angels and Jesus, I guess it's not angels, never mind, appearing to Muslims.
Oh, yes, it's Jesus that comes to them.
Well, we know that's not true, because God reveals himself.
He's already revealed himself. That's right. Jenny?
Well, I was just going to say, I think people find it hard to believe that mankind can be as evil as we are or can be. So we have to blame somebody else.
Yeah. The heart of man is evil enough without having Satan there. Satan just helps smooth the way, I guess, to be more evil.
So, outside of the body of Christ, people who are, say, into the New Age movement and they have these spirit guides, do you think, I mean, they go into a mind-altered state in order to get there. So do you think that's right. Just the effect of the mind-altered state as opposed to maybe a demonic influence but not actually a demon?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you would read that?
Well, the warning to us seems to be more in the spiritual realm of these visitations. We hear missionaries talk about all the time Satan actively doing things, the Ouija board, you know, things like that, that where Satan seems to control. I guess I wouldn't say absolutely not that they're not physically influencing us. The warning, of course, is on the spiritual side of things. So I wouldn't discount that Satan is active or is allowed to be active somewhat in the physical. However, it's much less than what most people, I think, would account for. So,
wasn't that all in the same category? Like you said, Jesus told me to do this, Jesus laid it on my heart. Well, you don't know for sure if he did. So you can't go blame, well, Satan did this, Satan told. You don't know. If it doesn't say in Scripture Satan did this, then you can't know any more than if God told you.
Well, blaming Satan takes the blame off of me.
Yeah, he told me to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Made me do it.
So I think that's why people like to say the devil made me do it. Which Flip Wilson. Ann?
Well, the reason I got to be a Christian was because I read the Quran, and it is a spiritual book, and I knew it messed with my mind. And to get over that, I mean, I knew I was screwed up after reading the Quran. And so I quickly grabbed the children's Bible and read it through. I didn't know any better, you know. I was just like, I had to get rid of that spirit thing. So are you saying the Muslims aren't influenced by, I mean, most of them haven't read even the Quran, you know, they're just buying what they've been told.
Well, the mind is something that we have to be very careful what we bring in.
What was your fascination, why you gravitated toward that verse?
Cindy?
Well, Muhammad and Joseph Smith both say the angels gave him the message.
That's right.
And that was during the dispensation.
Mm-hmm. Which goes completely against what Paul says. So right there, you should know that what they're saying is a false narrative that we can't trust. And whether it was all man-made or whether it came from Satan, or a combination of the two, we don't know. But your mind is a very delicate thing, that which is why Paul talks a lot about knowing, and where do you put your mind? Where your mind goes is where you go. And so you need to be very careful what you bring into your mind. The computer, garbage in, garbage out, that's what happens to people with their minds. If you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out.
I thought an angel was talking to me when I was sleeping. Was just Cindy standing over me?
Was there a soft glow? And
I heard that's one of the dangers of yoga, is that you clear your mind, and that your mind is not a vacuum. It's going to be filled with something.
If you understand yoga, what you're doing is opening up your mind for these other gods,
yes,
supposedly, that are out there.
Do you think that's right?
Oh, no, not at all. I think it's a dangerous thing to do, because people that strip the religious side of, or the spiritual side of yoga, and say we're just doing exercises, but the exercises themselves are things that are supposed to be inviting the work of gods in you. So it's a meditation process that they're doing. Yoga is there to meditate, but what are we to meditate on? You know, we're to go to scripture.
Okay, if they say it's Christian yoga.
Well, there's...
Is there Christian yoga?
Well, that's like Christian demons. It's like...
That's what I was trying to...
Right. That's what they're trying to strip, is and take yoga into its physical aspect and spiritual aspect, stripping the spiritual away and only doing the physical. But it's...
In their chants or whatever they do, if they say, you know, call on Jesus, they're good. Is that still dangerous?
I believe it can be. It also,
I just wanted to make sure I was right.
As believers, you don't want to lead somebody else in the wrong path. And so you want to stay away from, you know, let's say I want to worship Buddha, but I won't have Buddha, I'll just have something else, but I'll do it. You know, these things are,
okay.
You know, you're trying to incorporate pagan practices and call it Christian, and you can't do it, just doesn't.
That's what I thought.
Buddha. I put Jesus instead of Buddha or something. Yeah,
yeah, then you do your Buddha. Isn't that what they're doing,
though? It's...
Well, I have a picture of Jesus up, and then I go,
So, that doesn't work. Anything else that...